Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there.
Hello, everyone, and God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We want to welcome you today to Prophetic News, the radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we come to you every Saturday live over the internet at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can also visit our website, propheticnews.com. There's some great articles there for you. And we also have a YouTube channel, and that YouTube channel is Jonah, T for Tom, 48. You can see some wonderful videos. They're very educational. They're biblical. And mainly why we do these programs is we want to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer. And last night I was so blessed. I was watching the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir at Angola Prison. And, wow, if you want to see something uplifting, and it certainly brings back the memories of when we first fell in love with Jesus, our first love. So, we want to let you know that there is a Savior who loves you, someone who died for you. And these men were giving their testimony, some of these lifers there. The warden is a born-again Christian. And they have church. They have a big church there at Angola. The steeple is, he wants that to be the main focus of that prison. But we were all in prison at one time before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And he set us free. And those of us that have been redeemed, we know what we have been redeemed from. We know and we have experienced the goodness of God in all areas of our life. And we have experienced the blessings of God, the free gift of eternal life. And we are going to talk today about tithing. I have a special guest, our sister Renee, the author of The Tithing Hoax, and I will be bringing her on in just a few moments here. But I want you to know that, yes, we believe in giving. We believe that we have the greatest giver as an example, the Father God who gave his only begotten Son. He was the greatest giver, and he gave out of love. And that should be our only motivation for giving, is because we love people, we want to help people, and that is true Christianity, not banging people over the head about giving 10% or, you know, God gets mad at you and all that. We are people that are to walk in love, so let love always be our motivation for everything we do. And I'm going to bring my guest on. Now, my guest, our sister Renee. God bless you, Renee. How are you?
Hi, Susan. How are you doing? I'm doing well.
Yes. Amen. I'm looking forward to this interview, and I just hope that we get a good sound this time. It was a little hard to hear you last time, and you have a nice, quiet, gentle spirit, so just try to speak up.
Yeah, I will.
yeah, we can get a good sound, because I think it's very important what you have to say. I I wanted to ask you something because I did have someone in the chat room, and the chat room is open, so if you have any questions, please go to the chat room. There's also a live call-in number if you have any questions. I will give that to you if you would like to call in and ask either of us a question. It's 914-338-1638, so you can call in or put your questions in the chat room. But I did get a question last week about first fruits, and this person was asking me why, you know, he said that there definitely was tithing in the New Testament, and he pointed out the scripture, Proverbs 3. Let me read this to you and let me get your take on it. He says, and it says in verse 9 of Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So how do you see that as it relates to tithing money?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. I don't want to get too deep on that. But first of all, when we talk about Proverbs, well, let's start here. When we approach the scriptures, and when it comes to dealing with scriptures in context, it always helps to know who the scripture is addressing. To whom does that scripture apply?
Right.
And when we're talking about, whenever you see a reference to first fruits, once again, it goes back to ancient Israel, and it goes back to agricultural produce. So when you talk about first fruits, it's similar to tithing in that you're talking about produce from the land. And the author of Proverbs is really speaking to ancient Israel, because they were commanded to offer up first fruits, and they were commanded to tithe. Now, I will say I do believe there is a principle, a spiritual principle, behind both tithing and first fruits. And I think, as I understand, from my understanding, that Jesus relays that principle very well when he speaks of seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it really is, the emphasis is placing God first in our lives and in what we do. It's not specifically dealing with, that means you have to give 10% of your income to the church or a pastor. It's just having, it's, to me, it's part of having the mind of Christ.
Yes.
And seeking God first, seeing God in everything and in everyone, and seeing God in your circumstances.
Yes.
So that is, as I understand, that's how I see it.
Yeah. How do you explain then first fruits? Because we hear so much about first fruits. We see these preachers on television, and they're talking about, oh, first fruit offering, the first of the year, and you have to give God a certain amount. You have to appease him, especially at certain times of the year. So how do you explain first fruits?
Well, it's basically they're doing the same thing with the concept of first fruits. They're doing the same thing with that as they are with the whole tithing. Once again, it's all about placing the scriptures back into context. When you talk about first fruits and the tithing, we're talking about something that fell under or fell within the Mosaic law or the law of Moses. And it was commanded that ancient Israel perform or give these tithes, which are 10% of their agricultural produce, and the first fruits are the first of whatever was grown from the land, that was part of their worship and how they conducted their religious, or part of their religious ceremony. So once again, they're still taking something that is not a part, that was never a part of Christianity or the origins of New Testament Christianity, if you will. You will not see any of the New Testament Christians practicing anything in reference to tithes or giving first fruits. So whenever they talk about that, they still go back to the Old Testament, and they are mixing, if you will, law with grace. They're mixing Old Testament Mosaic law commandments and trying to bring it in and mix it with New Testament grace. And the New Testament, it's all about giving, and giving under grace, and giving is voluntary. They didn't give first fruit offerings. They didn't give 10% of their wages.
Right.
So
it's so interesting, because we see so much talk about tithing, seed sowing. You rarely ever hear anybody talk about giving anymore. It's always sowing seed, and sowing seed unto God. And then when you give God this certain amount of money, he jumps off his throne, and you know, he's just so impressed that they make you believe that he's just so impressed with it, that then he sees what you're doing, that actually they actually believe, and they actually tell people, and this is part of this whole brainwashing deception, that, and they've done a very good job with it, where they actually have most Christians believing that they actually have to pay God off to get him to do things, and then they actually have them believing that selfishness is godliness, that you only give and you only sow seed so you can get things back.
Mm-hmm.
The devil has really done his job.
Right, and you talk about that selfishness. That what they're doing is they're really appealing to people's carnal desires.
Yes.
They're not appealing to the spirit of people. They're not appealing to the heart of people. They are appealing to the lowest common denominator. Like I said, those carnal desires. They're appealing to people's, not only their selfishness, they're appealing to greed. What these type of preachers do is, what if you want to talk about sowing seed, what they're doing is they're sowing a seed of greed into the body of Christ. They're sowing seeds of materialism in the body of Christ, and as you say, they're sowing that seed of selfishness. And one point I wanted to make, I said, God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. God wants your heart. And when you talk about giving, the powerful spiritual principle of giving, which is promoted in the New Testament scriptures for New Testament Christians, is with giving. And you have, like I said, when you give out of love, not out of greed, not out of selfish. You it takes you out of your flesh.
Yes.
And it really aligns your spirit with the spirit of God. And it is, and like I said, it comes from such a pure place. And that in giving is receiving. Giving and receiving are really one and the same. And so, but they don't really, as you say, they don't teach giving, because giving is voluntary.
Yes.
And giving is about a free will offering. And it's these preachers, which I find is very ironic, that especially among, if you will, certain, I guess, word of faith preachers. I said, now, wait a minute. Now, you're a word of faith, and you're all about faith. But what I'm picking up on is you really don't trust or really have faith not only in God, but you don't have faith enough in God's people to actually teach giving and to allow people, if you will, to give according to their heart and to be spirit-led in their giving. You don't trust that because you don't really have faith that the people want to give and support your ministry or support your church. So instead, you want to bring back, place people back under the old covenant and pull up these tithing scriptures that don't apply to Christians, and you want to beat them over the head with it. You want,
yeah,
you want to manipulate their emotions by instilling fear,
yeah,
in the hearts and mind of God's people that you better tithe or else, or
yeah,
you want to appeal to their carnality or promote materialism, and so they will tithe in hopes they will get something back in return.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
No, so where is the faith? What's the faith in that?
Well, that's the same thing I saw, because I was involved for many years myself in the whole Word of Faith movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say I was ignorant, and the Bible, it talks about, you know, not to be ignorant. I would not have you ignorant, brethren.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to study the scriptures for ourselves. And I remember meeting someone one time, a pastor and his wife, and they talked about free will giving, and they didn't believe in tithing. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, those poor people. Because I was a firm believer in tithing until I went and I did my homework, and I found out what the Bible really said. And then I realized that these so-called faith people that, yeah, they write all these books and they have all these tape series and all these
mm-hmm.
seminars and everything, and they're going to teach you how to get money. They're going to teach you how to make the right confession
mm-hmm.
and then how to give a certain amount of money so then God's obligated to bless you when, I mean, God's not obligated, you know, he's not obligated to you just because you, you know, yeah, just because you give him a certain amount of money. I mean, I think there's a scripture in Romans that talks about that, you know, God doesn't have to pay you back. So I don't realize the same thing, that it really wasn't faith. It had nothing to do mm-hmm. with faith, that they have big churches full of 10,000, 20,000 people.
Yeah.
And they have a good lifestyle, and they have an airplane, and they have a Rolls Royce or whatever, and they have a mansion, and they're going to teach you. Now, look, see, you can be just like me. But the fact is they didn't get that money through faith. Most of them, I would like to see how most of them would make out if they really stopped teaching, give me your 10%. If I had 10,000 people giving me 10% of their income, I'd be doing pretty good, too.
And
so I found out as I was involved in the faith movement, I found out that I would take surveys then, and a few times I did this in some churches where I preached, and I asked people to raise their hand and tell me how many people in the congregation were actually out of debt from all the tithing and all the seed sowing, and hardly anybody could raise their hand because everybody had debts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also looked at the life of two of the biggest seed faith proponents was the Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts. Well, Oral Roberts, his hospital went bankrupt that he spent $80 million building. Then he lost his university.
Mm-hmm.
So Seed Faith didn't work for them. They were like $40 or $50 million in debt. So if Seed Faith really worked, why didn't it work for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So my eyes were opened, and I found too that when it took so long for me to get that mindset out of my head where, well, I have a need, so I better give so that my need could be met. It really took a long time to readjust myself because
right.
It's a very strong thing.
It is. I mean, it really is. Like you mentioned, brainwashing is like a form of brainwashing, and it's people have been indoctrinated with this tithing doctrine, this particular belief system. And I also want to know, I wasn't trying to beat up on the Word of Faith folk, because it's not limited to Word of Faith preachers and
right.
type of teaching. So I want to put that out there. So I'm not picking on them. I was just citing that particular segment as an example of these type of teachings. But where was I? But, but like I said, it's like a form of brainwashing, and they teach this tithing doctrine in such a way that they have made it appear as being an integral part of the Christian faith, like it's a part of your Christian identity. Tithing
yeah.
is part of you, who you are as a Christian, and if you're not tithing, then what kind of Christian are you really? You're not a real Christian.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow. And that's a very powerful thing. And if people are having this drummed into them Sunday after Sunday or month after month, that's in part what makes you a Christian. And not only does it make you a Christian, it's part of what makes you a good Christian. If you're a good Christian, hey, you're going to tithe. You're going to give your
yeah.
10%, you're going to give over your 10% of preferably of your gross income.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, come on. That's not even scriptural.
No.
But people have that belief.
Oh, yeah, very strong. It's very, very strong. It's like I say to them, what is wrong with listening to the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Like, okay, this is simple. And because a lot of people say, well, you don't believe in giving? Well, that's not what I'm saying. Yes, I believe in giving. Yes,
yes.
yes. But mm-hmm. I can hear from God for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the pastor to tell me who to give to. I don't.
That's right.
Need anyone else to tell me who to give to, because I can hear the Holy Spirit for myself. What if the Holy Spirit wants me to give 10% to somebody else besides the pastor? Well, most people can't even go there because they're so brainwashed into thinking, well, I've got to bring this 10% to the church house over here to my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, God's going to curse me. And meanwhile, you're sitting in a congregation full of people. I saw this happen in one church I was at. There was a family there. The father, the mother had left and left the father with three children. And the father worked at the church there. Meanwhile, the pastor would bring in people like Mike Murdoch. And then one Sunday morning, they gave him $10,000 offering. And the pastor was very proud of that. But meanwhile, this man here with these three children, he couldn't even afford a telephone. He didn't even have a telephone because he couldn't afford it. I'm
mm-hmm.
saying, there's something wrong with this.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something wrong with the fact that we are in a church and they're preaching tithing and seed sowing, and they're bringing in these pimps like Mike Murdoch and these people, this Mark Gorman and these people there, bringing them in to take up big offerings, and then meanwhile people sitting in the church don't have enough, have food and clothing and can't afford a telephone for their family. And I said, no, there's something wrong with this.
Right. Very much so. And I mean, there are, you know, there are preachers out there when it comes to this whole tithing and seed faith thing, they are very good at what they do. They, you know, unfortunately,
very good
to the detriment of the churchgoers, but they're very good at what they do, and they know how to work a crowd. They
know.
You know,
it worked me a couple times.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, people get caught up in the an emotional frenzy, and they give out of their emotions.
Yes,
you know, which is not, of course, not the same as spirit, but they get caught up in the hype. You know, a lot of these guys like hype men, and people get caught up in the hype. And also because many people, and this is really gets me, is that a lot of people out here are in desperate situations.
Desperate.
Financially, they are desperate. And when people are desperate in desperate situations, they're more susceptible to being exploited.
Yes.
Taken advantage of.
Well, they know that, too.
And that is so, it's inexcusable. How can you call yourself a man or woman of God?
Yeah.
To me, that's what I call religious malpractice.
Yes, amen to that.
That's what that is.
Amen.
You're not helping.
You know, I see a day, though, and I mean, I hate for the government to get involved in church business, but
yeah.
I see a day when people are going to start filing lawsuits for
mm-hmm.
fraud, because it is fraud.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about fraud. It talks about doing things deceitfully, don't defraud your brother. And
mm-hmm.
this is exactly what these so-called men of God, they call themselves men of God, but they don't know God, because you can't know God and then do these kind of things to people.
Mm-hmm.
I say boycott these so-called ministries, boycott the TV stations, have a shout-out if you go to a meeting and they stand up and start doing this seed faith stuff and telling you give God $1,000, and then your family gets saved. They pick on these vulnerable areas of your life,
mm-hmm.
salvation for your family, paying off your debts, healing your
mm-hmm.
body. It's despicable. Have a shout out and just tell them you lie.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's what somebody did over at Eddie Long's church when he got up that Sunday. They stood up and they said you lie, and they escorted him out of the church. But, you know, enough is enough already. If people started going to these live telethons when they're live over the air and just stand up and say, you lie, and it's not scriptural, well, a few embarrassing moments, because they try to turn people like you and I off. I wouldn't be a welcome guest, as I'm sure you wouldn't be on TBN or any of these networks. They're not going to give you a platform here.
No.
So, but you see how God makes a way, because you have YouTube. It's a wonderful vehicle to reach people. You can reach the whole world through your computer, and you don't have to spend $1 million to have a television program.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have this vehicle like we have here with Blog Talk Radio, which is a great blessing.
Yeah.
So God makes a way. And, of course, everybody has a Bible, so you are responsible for reading your Bible. And anyway, we just have about a minute left. Time flies when you're having fun, right? I mean, this is such an important subject, and I do want to bring you back on again in the future in a few weeks, because to me this is very, very important. And
it is.
I want to see a change. I want to see a revolution, a reformation, and let's get back to love. Love is much better. Love giving is much better. And
it
let's show people that we really are Christians, not this other stuff that's going on, which is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to the body of Christ, what we see going on. But please direct people to your website and to your YouTube channel.
Oh, yes. If you want to learn more about the tithing topic, just go to thetithinghoax.com. And I also have videos up dealing with the topic of tithing on YouTube. It's youtube.com/yourtitheexpert.
Amen. So don't forget to visit her YouTube channel. There, she's got some excellent information and her book, The Tithing Hoax. And you will be greatly blessed because let's be examples. Let's be like the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest giver of all. He laid down his life for us. We are not under the law. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, dwelling in us, and he shows us the right way to do things. And there's more and more people like my sister and myself and other people out there that have realized that giving is an act of love, and we're under grace. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I love grace. I love grace. But I want to thank you, my dear sister, for being on and for your spending time and doing all this research, because, see, she did the research, and you can learn from people. That's why we have teachers, is that we can learn things that they've learned, and we can check it out with the Word of God. We check everything out with God's Word. So I want to thank you, and I'll be in touch with you soon, and we'll do a few more programs. Thanks for being on.
Well, thank you very much, Susan.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you real good. Amen. I want to thank you all for tuning in today, and I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to give your life to Jesus today. I know that 30 years ago I was a lost person. I was lost without God, without his grace, without his mercy. But he took me and he made something beautiful out of my life. He took my sins and he forgot about them. He forgave me. And he can forgive you too, no matter what you've done today. There is forgiveness. There is mercy. There is a God. He's real. You weren't created in the image of an ape. No, you were created in the image of an almighty God. So ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Ask him to reveal himself to you, to prove that he's real. He did it for me. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. It's something else to be born again. It is amazing. You will be a new person. And get a Bible, read your Bible, and get to know. It's a beautiful book. It's such a wonderful book. It's living. When I didn't know God and I'd opened the Bible, I didn't understand it. But when I was born again, that book became life to me. It was so real, so much wisdom and so much truth. The truth will set you free. Hallelujah. God bless you today, and tune in again next week. Okay, prophetic news on Blog Talk Radio. God bless.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and man is dead on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.